You are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Detroit basketball! What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, March the 4th, and the Pistons get a win in Florida. This is your boy Matt Shook, the host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a sports writer here in Detroit City covering sports gambling for PlayMichigan.com, a Pistons fan and follower my whole life, just like you guys, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well.
And I'm Brother Brian, and I'm going to have to shut down my fledgling OnlyFans channel.
Today's episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy, or because you're the Detroit Pistons? At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spreading the word about the Locked On Pistons podcast. Rare that we're able to commiserate after a victory, but that is the case today. Talking Pistons win down in Florida. We're also going to talk about what's going on at 10 a.m. this morning that you should probably be aware of at this point if you want to get up close and personal with the action. Also, a little more trade deadline talk. The uncertainty heading into the deadline. What variable is out there which makes a little bit of a wrench or some opportunity possibly for Troy Weaver as the March 25th trade deadline approaches. And we'll preview tonight's game. The final game of the first half is the Pistons are in Madison Square Garden. But give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that, also the Locked On Pistons Twitter account. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Give Brother Brian a follow at bshook12 on Twitter, and also the Play Michigan account, play_Michigan. Getting close to that 1,000. Get me there, so I'll give you a week off of telling you to go ahead and follow that. So a couple of you guys got on there, so good job there. But Brother Brian, what's going on, man? How's it going in your world?
Celebrating a Piston win, watching a three-game losing streak get snapped. All's good in Piston land tonight, and it's surprising. It was another one of those games that, as it was starting, after hearing that, you know, Jeremy wasn't playing and Josh was out, that it was just one that was kind of a struggle, like we're going to, you know, sledge through this one. And they, you know, just keep pulling me back in, and it was super, one of the most exciting games to watch this year.
Yeah, first couple minutes they got kind of steamrolled by Toronto, and then from then on it was the other way around. They pretty much steamrolled the Raptors. There wasn't the early third quarter. There was a stretch there in like a first couple minutes after halftime where Raptors got a couple buckets. I think it got down to five, but once they got quelled that one, I didn't think that the Raptors were really competitive in this game at all. You know, and so the Pistons, probably their most convincing win of the season, I'd say.
Well, yeah, the Raptors were severely undermanned, obviously. No Siakam, no Van Vliet, no Anunoby. I mean, there were just holes all over the place. They were without a lot of their scoring, without a lot of their defensive prowess. The Pistons, in turn, were without, you know, including Blake, their top four scorers tonight. And it was just a game that it looked a lot like, you know, kind of pick up basketball a lot of times. There wasn't a lot of offensive direction at times, a lot of up and down. There were more fast break points than the Pistons usually get. And, you know, getting 129 points matches their season high. And, you know, they did that only one other time, and that was in a double overtime loss to the Lakers.
And a couple of triple doubles and some huge 3-point numbers for the team as well.
Yeah, and, you know, just looking at Wayne Ellington there, you know, this was only the fourth road win for the Pistons, as much as of a home game as it was for the Tampa-Toronto Raptors. Wayne Ellington getting back on track, 25 points, 8 of 11 from three-point shooting. All he did was shoot threes in one free throw. It was joined by Sabin Lee and Rodney Magruder, who both scored over 20 points as well. Sabin Lee adding 7 assists to that total as well.
Yeah, and then stuff in that stat sheet, kind of some barely triple doubles, but triple doubles are triple doubles, and these guys, the second for one of them in his career and first certainly for his Pistons career, nice to see. And some historic numbers when looking back at, I guess, the second time in franchise history the two guys on the Pistons got one in the same night.
Right, and Mason Plumlee was the Dennis Smith Jr. was the first one to achieve the feat. 10 points, 12 rebounds, and 11 assists for his third career triple-double, first with the Pistons. Mason Plumlee, 14 points, 11 rebounds, and 10 assists for his second triple-double of the year. Watching Mason battle down low, with Aaron Baines there, a little bit of former Piston, those two kind of going at it. But, you know, this Piston team just isn't fun for teams to play. And I think that's kind of what comes through night in and night out, is whether it's teams underestimating them, not knowing who they are a lot of times, maybe they just seem to get under other teams' skin more often than we've seen in the last couple of years.
So second time in Pistons history that they got the triple doubles for Mason Plumlee and Dennis Smith. The first time was Ray Scott and Donnie Butcher in 1964 against the New York Knicks, March 14th, so almost to the day of the anniversary of that one. I know we all remember that one well, Donnie Butcher and Ray Scott. But, Brian, I got to be honest with you. This is the first win that the Pistons have this season that I'm not happy about. I'm not excited about. And I know that the stats are cool, right? The triple-doubles are cool. But, again, the adversity that Toronto has faced, their whole coaching staff is not there. And this is one of the top five coaches in the NBA right now. And we're not going to freak out over one win, just like you shouldn't freak out in a long season over whatever. But at least the other games, I don't consider Toronto to be a true contender right now. It's not like beating the Lakers. It's nice to break those streaks, like you said. But, man, I just, as you roll to the offseason here, and this will be kind of the second half theme, and I don't want to crap on wins every time they have one in the second half of the season on Locked On Pistons, but like you said, I totally agree about the pickup feel of this game. I saw a Toronto-Tampa Raptors team that was disengaged after they put up a couple of minutes of good play. They were not in this game. This was teams that were kind of throwing up three-pointers. Like you said, a pickup game in the summer. I would say summer league, but there was veterans out there. I think Laz Jackson called it like a G League game on Twitter tonight. And yeah, like a G League kind of pickup game. And, yes, good to have the confidence of some of these young guys to continue to perform. But I don't know. It just, to me, some of these times in the second half of the season, it's going to be more beneficial to this team to lose these games. And again, they blew out Toronto, that's fine. But Minnesota loses to Charlotte tonight, gets blown out by Charlotte tonight. Now you're 3.5 games ahead of Minnesota. Minnesota's the worst team in the NBA by 3.5 games. Not insurmountable. And being the second worst team in the NBA, I looked it up today, you have a 20% chance of staying in that number six spot and an 80% chance of going into the top five. So not all is lost. You could even fall to being the fourth, the fifth, the sixth worst team in the NBA and still get lottery luck getting into that top four. But, man, you don't want to stack too many of these wins, and that's why as the trade deadline approaches, a little bit more urgency. And I wonder, especially seeing Jeremy Grant pulled out of this game and Dwayne Casey saying again that it's not serious. So what's the thinking there, right? Just kind of cruise into the deadline or cruise into the break, maybe lose a couple more games. I wonder if Troy Weaver, some directives are coming from the top saying, Josh Jackson, he's a little sick. Let's leave him out of this game. Maybe there's some organizational thinking there with the tank, and I wonder what that means going forward.
Well, I'm going to respectfully disagree with you on not being happy about this win in the sense that I think organizations tank, players don't tank. And this was
That's completely right.
And this was, like you said, the organization did what they could to tank this game. They held Jeremy Grant out, and I think it is just, hey, if it's, you know, if he's banged up just a little bit, let's sit these last two games out, let's get a week off, let's get 100% right before we move on. But if a team like Toronto, if you're gonna play a team like Toronto that is missing three or four very key players, you hope that your team can and beat this team, and shame on Toronto for not being engaged in this game. And if Detroit's going to sneak up on teams and going to win basketball games that way, we can't point the finger necessarily at anybody, because the organization has set this up to be one of the bottom three teams in the league this year, and that's all they can do. Now, the players, as we've talked about, have outperformed their station at this point. The rookies are coming along a little bit better. Dennis Smith Jr. is leaps and bounds ahead of where he was when we got him. And Mason Plumlee's thrown up two triple-doubles. You can't lasso the players on the court in. And if they're going to perform better than you expect, you've got trade deadline coming up that you can unload the players. That if your goal as an organization is to tank and end the bottom three, which it should be, and it is the right move to do that. But once the whistle blows, whatever front office meddling or organization meddling has to go out the window. And when a team's missing three or four of their biggest or best players, you better beat that team. You're an NBA team. You know, these guys are professionals, and they played a really good game tonight. A lot of people who don't get a lot of opportunities, Rodney Magruder, Steve Mikhailik starting, putting up 17 points. You need these guys to do that thing if you are going to get any value for them at some point, whenever you do decide to pull the trigger on any of these guys, Mason Plumlee with triple-doubles, that sort of thing. Again, I think it just comes back to you can only do so much as a front office, and if the players are going to outplay what you think that they should be doing, then you either got to move them or, you know, you got to look at the other teams in the NBA, and they've got to recognize that Detroit's, while being the second worst team in the league, their point differential's a little bit more towards about number 20 in the league. So they're not losing games by a lot. And when you are a competitive team, you are going to run in games that you kind of accidentally win. And I think it was one of those games. And you know, three-game losing streaks that turn into four-game losing streaks and five-game losing streaks going into a week off, that just leaves a bad taste in your mouth. So we're not rooting for getting into the play-in tournament. I don't think that's going to be the best thing for this franchise, but the front office has done what they can to put a competitive team together that still should tank. But, again, I think you've got to place the blame, you know, so to speak, right on the Toronto Raptors tonight and the coronavirus, unfortunately.
Well, first off, don't ever respectfully disagree. Please disrespectfully disagree. I don't want to hear any of that. But second of all, I just want to clarify, and I want to choose words carefully, and you make a great point. I'm glad you brought it up. I'm not mad at Troy Weaver. I'm not mad at Dwayne Casey. I'm not mad at Dennis Smith and Mason Plumlee or Saben Lee. I'm not mad at anybody about the Pistons winning this game. I'm just saying, as a fan, I'm a little bit disappointed that the Pistons won this game. I'm not saying someone did something wrong or why are they making three-pointers. No, you go out and you win. And the organization, I'm not saying that Jeremy Grant has to sit out every other game or that every player that's half injured has to sit out. I'm just saying how I feel about this game as a fan. I'm a little bit disappointed that you get this win over a team that normally when you play the Toronto Raptors, you can chalk that up as probably a loss, but unfortunately you ran into them at a time when they're in complete disarray right now, and it sets you up for a relatively easy win. Now, credit to them for getting that win and doing the stuff they needed to do. But it also kind of brings up another point where I'm kind of worried about the second half, is that this Pistons team has only one way that they got, and credit to Troy Weaver, credit to this organization for putting this group together, for grabbing the type of guys that are, on one hand, everything we want and everything that we've been yearning for as a fan base for years and years, and that's good. It's the overall positive is more than the negative I'm about to point out, but like, there's going to be more of these games in the second half where you're playing another team that's playing out the string. Everyone's sick of bubbles and not being able to do the things that we all want to do these last couple of years. Throw some of the old bubble that they had last season into some of these. There's going to be some dog games in the second half, and the Pistons, to their credit, are probably going to rise to the occasion. And in these, we've seen it every spring in the NBA. There's these crap games, especially with teams that are sitting guys, stealth tanking. And I just kind of worry that the Pistons are going to win more of these than is advantageous for this team. And we'll talk it out as that kind of goes forward. But just something to think about. There might be more nights that I am, and maybe I'm wrong. I'm not telling you how to be a fan. I'm not telling Brother Brian how to be a fan. But I'm going to be a little bit disappointed if these start stacking. And I'm not saying they're going to have this great run in the second half, but just enough to where maybe Minnesota's not even catchable and some other teams might fall to that level as well. But up next, we're going to talk about the fans getting back to see their Pistons in person and what is a big variable that might be changing things for Troy Weaver at the deadline. But, hey, I got to tell you, Brother Brian, speaking of joy, Dennis Smith Jr. resurrecting his career, getting that first triple-double in the red, white, and blue for the Pistons. Rough start for him in Detroit. Man, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. And that brings to mind Michelob Ultra, my favorite beer these days. 2.6 carbs and 95 calories. You can still enjoy it, but still get yourself in order body-wise. Great for the health overall. And the joy that Michelob Ultra brings, that joy creates success. The enjoyment isn't the end game. It's the whole game. It's all about the joy, the happiness, and excitement. And Dennis Smith Jr. is the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week, the Ultra Player of the Week for the Detroit Pistons. Are you happy because you win, or do you win because you're happy? Michelob Ultra.
Brother Brian here, and I hope you banged the over on last night's Pistons game, as that was a safe bet for the first time in three games. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but the NBA, college basketball, and the NHL are in full swing, and the Pistons are right back in action in the Big Apple as 4.5-point underdogs to the Knicks. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Yes, sir!
Today on the Locked On Today podcast, James Harden heads back to Houston with his new team. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Subscribe to Locked On Today wherever you get your podcast. Matt Shook, host of the Locked On Pistons podcast, here with you with Brother Brian, as I usually am, pouring through the live reaction. A Pistons win against the Tampa Raptors tonight. But big news, 10 a.m. this morning, Thursday morning, tickets go on sale. Pistons.com and Ticketmaster.com. You may have heard Governor Whitmer relaxing some of the restrictions for COVID this week. That comes to fruition on Friday, and the Pistons' next home game will be after that, March 17th, after the break, and that's going to be against these Toronto-Tampa Raptors again. And then so all games from here on out, 750 fans up to, I don't know that that will, I'm guessing less tickets than 750 per game will be available, but go get yourself some tickets. So finally, fans can get back in Little Caesars Arena. Of course, 19,000 plus is the usual number there. So limited ones available, but I would suggest a unique atmosphere and maybe more tickets and more time will be available if restrictions keep coming. So what do you think, Brian? I mean, it sounds like that's going to be a tough ticket and come to with the numbers.
It'll be really interesting to see what those tickets are going to end up, you know, going for on the secondary market, especially to see how sought after these Piston tickets are. And I think it will be a tough ticket. Certainly at the beginning, I think this team's done enough to excite the fan base that, you know, the limited number of people that are going to have access to these tickets, or, you know, be able to get these tickets anyway, is really going to, you know, hopefully show that these Pistons, that we do appreciate what they're doing, even if it's not showing up in the standings.
Now, we wanted to bring up the trade deadline. It's what's on the back and the front of everyone's mind around the NBA right now. That is March 25th, which is actually 3 weeks from today. A Thursday will be the trade deadline in the NBA. I believe it's usually about 4 o'clock or so. And as much as we want trades to happen this whole month, they usually kind of wait until that last day, maybe a couple days before you'll start seeing some stuff. Now, around the league, it doesn't seem like it's going to be one of those huge trade deadlines. And one of the reasons that is because of the addition of the play-in tournament this year. So the top 10 teams, 7 through 10, are the four teams that are going to be in the play-in tournament, and 1 through 6 already advancing to the quote-unquote first round there. So what that means is you have a lot more teams that are now quote-unquote playoff contenders. Looking at it right now, the Chicago Bulls, 16-18, tied with Indiana for the ninth seed, so they would be in right now. And then go down the list, the Orlando Magic, who are the only team ahead of the Detroit Pistons in the Eastern Conference right now, they are just 4 games out of the 10th spot in the Eastern Conference. Same can be said out west. The Sacramento Kings, they are just, 4.5 games out of the play-in tournament right now. They are third to last in the Western Conference. So talking about the Pistons. And again, you want to talk crazy and say Pistons are only 6.5 games out of the 10th spot. Now, very unexpected for them to make a second-half run. Same can be said, I think, for Minnesota, who's now 11.5 games out of the Western Conference play. And Houston is trending in that direction, another loss to Brooklyn tonight too. But – I mean, as far as like strictly sellers, teams that are looking to get whatever they can at the trade deadline, the Pistons are one of the only teams in that situation right now.
And I think this kind of harkens back to our discussion here last segment, which is going to be the saving grace. The expansion of the playoff field is going to mean there are more teams that are competing further into the season, so that they won't be necessarily taking nights off against the Pistons, like you had kind of mentioned about the stealthy tanking. But it also helped the Pistons in the trade deadline. You've got more people who conceivably should be buying and less teams that are selling. And if you're one of the only teams that has assets on the market, you should be able to get a premium price for their value. So, I think it's kind of lining up well for the Pistons. Everything's kind of, coming up spades here a little bit, save for the unearned win that comes along sometimes, like it did here last night.
Yeah, and I want to just kind of reset where we're at with the trade deadline. Obviously, we don't talk about it every single day, but the biggest issue with the Detroit Pistons right now is whatever happens with Blake Griffin here in this next week or so, or I guess I should say several weeks. We still expect a buyout to come, and the big question is how much money will he sacrifice, and will the Pistons agree to make that deal? But the next thing, and Wayne Ellington is the name, and he comes up with another big game on Wednesday night, getting back to that January groove that he was in when he was scoring like 19 a game for like six or seven straight games there and putting up historic three-point numbers. And by the way, great stuff, and I love all the stats that are – but like there's so many three-pointers made in the NBA right now that it's almost like the stats are like, okay, yeah, we get it. Like every game someone's breaking the franchise record for some sort of three-point stat around the league. But Wayne Ellington, I was reading a Pistons blog today that was like on one side of the Wayne Ellington thing where it was like the trades that they were throwing out there were like so unbelievably optimistic about what you might get for Wayne Ellington. There was like one that was like Wes Iwundu and a second round pick. There was one that was Talon Horton Tucker straight up to the Lakers for Wayne Ellington. And it's just like, no chance that's actually going to happen. But then I was listening to another, the Reddit guys on the podcast that they do. They do a great job with it. But that was on the extreme pessimistic side of it, where it was like, there is no chance they'll be able to trade Wayne Ellington. They're definitely going to buy him out. I'm here to tell you it's somewhere in between. I think that they could possibly get like a severely protected, not severely, but a protected second round pick, something that's like going to be in the back half of the second round. But I think you could, because there's so many teams like the Golden State, the Lakers, a lot of teams out there that could use him on the buyout market, that possibly you could use that leverage and teams knowing that they might be waiting for a Wayne Ellington on the buyout to possibly get something for him. So, I think, and obviously shooting nights like Wednesday can only help the Pistons as they try to get something for Wayne Ellington.
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to be shooting 8 of 11 from three-point range, he's going to have a lot of people courting him, or the Pistons are going to have a lot of people ringing Troy Weaver's phone for him. But other players, DeLon Wright hopefully is able to get back here a little bit and show that he's, the player he was before the injury happened, that you're able to maybe get some value there. And, in a rebuild like this, not necessarily everybody's off limits. I mean, Josh Jackson and Jeremy Grant have been great, and as a Pistons fan, I would love to see these two grow with the franchise. But, if the value's right, Troy Weaver has shown that he's not, gun shy about being aggressive and pulling the trigger on a move.
Yeah, particularly with Josh Jackson. I mean, I think Jeremy Grant, it's got to just absolutely blow your socks off to get a deal for him together. I think we're all kind of on the same page about that. But Josh Jackson, maybe it is kind of a sell-high situation. I agree with you that you'd like to keep Josh Jackson and have him around and see how he grows here with this team. But if there's not, everyone's available. There is no one off limits for a team like the Pistons, who are at the bottom of the NBA and you're years away from being a contender. But you mentioned DeLon Wright. I've been looking around the NBA trying to find the right moves. Philadelphia is kind of a team that stands out as possibly needing a veteran off the bench type of versatile, reliable type of security blanket like Dwayne Casey talks about. I'm really looking at the Toronto team, wondering if if Kyle Lowry, if Masai Ujiri wants to pull a little bit of a rebuild, it's just kind of an uninspiring group. If this COVID thing for them continues and continues, that might be a place that you look to retool and blow up a little bit there, which of course would help the Pistons as they have their second round pick next year. But I wanted to kind of talk about Plumlee just a little bit more. The teams that stood out to me as possibly wanting to acquire him are coincidentally his three former teams. And we talked about the Brooklyn thing, and that makes sense because Mason Plumlee's a guy who has not burned any bridges everywhere he's been. He's a guy you want to bring back to your organization if you had him, and the Pistons are finding that out too, a quality guy. The Brooklyn Nets, we talked about the Spencer Dinwiddie deal. I did a little bit more digging. The Brooklyn Nets have two second-round picks next year, the Hawks and the Suns. They also have a Pacers pick in 23 and a Warriors pick in 25, their own for Brooklyn in 22, 24, 26, and 27. So there's ammunition there. They can easily stack one of those. The Pistons could end up with a third second-round pick going in next year. Maybe you package those for a first or something like that. Good to have that in the war chest. The other one is Denver, right? I mean, the Pistons actually can't trade Jeremy Grant to Denver even if they wanted to, because that was a sign-in trade and you can't reacquire the guy. But Mason Plumlee being a free agent signing, something's amiss in Denver, right? They just don't have the right mix going right now. They're 20-15, which is seventh place in the Western Conference, and maybe a reunion with their former player in Denver saying, you know, we weren't happy with what we got to replace you, and they have a trade exception. They could take him in. They have second-round picks in 23 and 24 out there as well. They can just fold him in and just take a second. Just throwing that out there too. And Portland, I know Yusuf Nurkic is supposed to be back relatively soon after the All-Star break, but if something sets back, we know he's had health problems there, I wonder if Portland might be interested in Mason Plumlee reunions, which everyone needs to get themselves into a deep playoff run. So just a couple of thoughts there, and I know that everyone's rolling their eyes about me talking about moving on from Mason Plumlee. But up next, Brother Brian's going to tell us about the New York Knicks. If you haven't seen them play in a couple of days, he's going to update you on what's going on with Derrick Rose and the boys. That's coming up next here on the Locked On Pistons podcast, which is a proud member of the Locked On Network, your team every day. RockAuto.com is a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything you need, from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet for your ride. Whether it's for your classic or your daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. Quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle and choose the brand specifications and prices that you prefer. Best of all, it's those prices at rockauto.com. They're always reliably low, and the same for the pros as the do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck right Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box, so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. And I know you guys know about that 2:30 feeling, and I want to tell you guys a personal story of mine that actually happened today as I taped this on Wednesday. I had that 2:30 feeling, and I actually got a call on my phone. It was a delivery guy saying, hey, we got a package for you. And guess what? It was Built Bar, and it wasn't just the fact that I could now eat a Built Bar, but it lifted me up and got me through the rest of the workday. The Built Bar is even more delicious than the past. The six new flavors. You got the caramel brownie, the cookies and cream, the cherry barcia, the lemon almond cheesecake, the carrot cake, and the apple almond crisp as well. Add that to the 12 OGs, flavors like raspberry, peanut butter brownie. These are all good. Bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they are soft and easy to chew. They're great for the health-conscious guy. You lose or maintain the weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low-calorie, low-sugar, high-protein, high-fiber, great for the keto diet or whatever kind of newfangled diet you're on as well. New promo code here. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code LOCKEDON20, and you'll get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON20 for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Cade Cunningham, Evan Mobley, Jalen Suggs, how much do you really know about these potential NBA stars of tomorrow? If you want to know more, you need to subscribe to the Locked On NBA Draft Podcast. Prospect scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Subscribe today and follow Locked On NBA Draft. Those guys are on fire, already on the iTunes rankings, doing a great job, a great show that you need to check out as well, especially if you're a Pistons fan invested into the top of this year's NBA draft. Brother Brian's got all the details of the Pistons playing out the last game of the first half in a game that was scheduled, I believe, last week. And they're going to be at Madison Square Garden taking on the New York Knickerbockers tonight.
Yeah, and the Big Apple taking on the 500 New York Knicks, 18-18. They've played only one game here on Tuesday night since we last saw them, a loss in San Antonio. They'll be returning without a familiar face as Derrick Rose will be sitting out and through the All-Star break with Lee, you know, health and safety protocols with COVID. So he's going to be out for a little bit, but Reggie Bullock will be back. All-Star Julius Randle, who we saw way too much of just the other day. Frank Ntilikina, RJ Barrett, Obi Toppin, the slam dunk contest participant, Alec Burks, and Emmanuel Quickley, who put up 26 in that game in that loss at San Antonio.
Yeah, a lot of the Knicks fans were a little bit skeptical of the Rose trade because you might be taking minutes away from Emmanuel Quickley. So this kind of takes care of that situation for one night for some of those who might have been skeptical about Derrick Rose getting back. But speaking of All-Star game, wanted to throw out there that Sadiq Bey, Isaiah Stewart, everyone was – the Pistons are completely shut out of All-Star weekend. They announced the Rising Stars selections. There will not be a game, but they're just noting some of these guys that made the Rising Stars team. I kind of expected that Sadiq Bey and Isaiah Stewart would be held out because there's only 10 USA guys, and it's all the best rookies and sophomores in the NBA. So we're talking about Zion and Ja Morant, and the guys that made it were LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, Tyrese Haliburton, Tyler Herro, DeAndre Hunter, Keldon Johnson, Michael Porter Jr., and James Wiseman. The world roster, coincidentally, Sekou Doumbouya probably had the best chance out of any Piston to make it, just because the world roster candidates were so thin in the first couple years. It's mostly Canadians. They've got Nikhil Alexander-Walker, RJ Barrett, Brandon Clark, Lou Dort, and Michael Mulder, who was a 2017 non-draftee who played in the G League for a couple years, and then the Warriors picked him up, and he's just kind of a I don't know. Sekou, to me, the spirit of the game is not to put a 26-year-old Canadian guy who's in his fourth year as a pro, but hey, who am I to rip on the Rising Stars Challenge? Maybe a little bit of my Sekou bias is coming through there. A good game for Sekou on Wednesday night, by the way. But, Brian, are you going to write a sternly worded letter to Adam Silver about Bey and Stewart, or what's going on?
No, I'm happy that they're going to get the week off, let them recuperate, take the time to kind of reflect on the first half of the season, get ready for the second half of the season. But you're right about Sekou. This was probably his best game since he returned from the concussion. And tonight's game, just as a note, if you're looking for it on the radio dial, you're going to have to go to Dick Pertin's old home. It's going to be on WOMC 104.3 tonight.
Dick Pertin is not on the call, though,
as
far as you know.
I think we're going to get Smooth Johnny Kane.
Probably just Mark.
Are we going to get Smooth Johnny Kane again here?
Yes, I think he said he's doing these two games. So, yeah, give Georgia a little time off. Well-deserved, and hopefully he can rest up. We're all – I'm kind of sputtering. I don't know if you're sputtering. We're a year into this pandemic. It's just but we're here for you most every day here on Locked on Pistons, and we appreciate you guys sticking with us as well as a trade deadline coming, second half of the season. Exciting development of some of these young guys, and hopefully not too many wins that I can be the turd in the punch bowl about after they get these wins. But that wraps up this edition of Locked on Pistons. I am Matt Shook. He's Brother Brian. Now tell your smart device to play the most recent episode of Locked on Fantasy Basketball. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
How does nobody want to watch me, J.I.B.?